John Batchelor with my colleague and co-host Malcolm Holine, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. The Mediterranean Basin, North Africa, earthquakes, floods, and man-made disasters called autocracies. We welcome David Shanker. David is the top senior fellow at the Washington Institute, director of the Linda and Tony Rubin Program on Arab Politics. Malcolm, your question about Morocco.
Yes. David, could you tell us what is the implication of this terrible humanitarian tragedy and economic tragedy, but mostly the loss of life in Morocco? No doubt there will be a lot of internal questioning and pressures that will emerge later on. But what about Morocco's role in Africa and especially in North Africa? How will this be impacted? Is it likely that Algeria will try to take advantage of this moment, or will others who want to diminish the influence and role of the King of Morocco?
Well, good evening, John and Malcolm. It's a pleasure to be with you. What a tragedy! This enormous earthquake in a remote part of Morocco, two, 3,000 dead. The New York Times has talked about a slow response of the monarchy and there are critiques out there. King Mohammed VI at the time was in France. He is now back in Morocco. I think the real question here is, as you say, what is the impact on the kingdom? This is a rare point of stability in a region that is to the south is bereft with coup d'etats, and in the north with problematic economic, the military unstable countries in Libya and Tunisia increasingly in Egypt. So we'll see how this goes forward with the recovery. So far, it doesn't appear to be a great news story on the government's response. I would imagine they will do a better job going forward. But we already see, I think, questions of where the United States is at in terms of Western Sahara, trying to restart a negotiation there. It's an incredibly complex issue. I think Morocco will emerge from this okay. I think Libya is going to have bigger problems with its own humanitarian catastrophe.
David, I want to stay with the Morocco story right now. My memory is that Morocco is participating in the Abraham Accords. Is that determinative? Is there help coming from the other Abraham Accord countries?
Several countries have volunteered to help Morocco, and Morocco has had to balance with accepting this humanitarian assistance versus what they can actually absorb on the ground, whether they actually have transportation to get these humanitarian workers up to remote areas, up single lane roads, many of which have been destroyed, taken out by rock slides, etc. The UAE, Bahrain, the Arab world has volunteered assistance, and so has Europe and Israel.
Malcolm?
So when we look at the situation regarding the Sahara, there are people who see that America has sort of backtracked on its earlier recognition of Moroccan sovereignty or control of Western Sahara, and in some statements that were made recently that roused the ire of people in Morocco, indicating that it's still a subject of negotiations, as if there is some minimizing of the original commitment. Do you see that happening, and have you seen any feedback on it?
Yeah, well, as you know, I've written about this recently. I think the administration really was embarrassed by the Trump administration's recognition of Moroccan sovereignty over Western Sahara. And when they first came into office, they said they were going to do a quote unquote policy review to determine how they would proceed. I think they understood instinctively that if they rolled it back, it would foul relations with Morocco, which is one of the United States' closest and longest standing strategic partners in the region. I mean, Morocco buys 90% of its weapons from the United States. The United States had committed during the Trump administration to not only the recognition of the Western Sahara, but also to moving a consulate to the city called Dakhla. This administration has not moved ahead with the consulate, and it has made statements periodically raising the question of whether they would in fact roll back the recognition. And they recently sent a deputy assistant secretary, Josh Harris, out to have negotiations with the Algerians and the Polisario, which is contesting the Western Sahara recognition, and with the Moroccans. And while Josh Harris was out there, the Moroccans actually killed by drone a Polisario front commander in the Western Sahara. I think this was a sign of what the Moroccans think about our efforts, the United States efforts on the Western Sahara negotiated solution right now. They're not interested in what this administration is bringing.
Disaster comes in battalions, David. You know that paraphrase from Shakespeare. So we turn to Libya. A wall 20 feet high is the report from CNBC. When two dams broke, flooding the center of Derna, a large city to the east of Libya that was once associated with ISIS. I don't think that's accurate anymore, but we're looking at a fragmented country, a broken country, Libya. Your understanding of Libya's governance right now, is anyone capable of dealing with what CNBC is reporting, up to 20,000 dead?
Yeah, you have probably up to 20% of this 100,000 person city who were swept away by the flood. And this was a matter of it's a perfect storm. They had a storm called Storm Danielle that rained a huge amount of water on the city and dams in ill repair. And so this was dereliction of duty. You have a presidential council in Libya, but you also have Khalifa Haftar, who's the head of the Libyan National Army. One controls Tripoli, the other controls Benghazi. This is not a functioning government in any sense. A lot of Arab countries, United Arab Emirates, Egypt, others, are sending assistance. Jordan, the humanitarian catastrophe is enormous. There is not a real effort here to save people. It's too late. It's about recovering bodies, trying to rebuild and prevent what could be a further humanitarian tragedy by rotting corpses and fouled water supplies in the city. This is going to be a disaster for a long time to come.
Who's in charge, David? Is there one leadership? You mentioned the UN. Is that the governance that they have now that they can organize these rescues or this repair?
Well, like I said, you have a government that's recognized by the international community called the Presidential Council, and that's in Tripoli. And then you have a sort of separate government that is in Benghazi, run by the former general in Gaddafi's army, who wants to replace Gaddafi and be the next dictator of Libya, named Khalifa Haftar. And then you have a UN mission that is in responsible for not only political negotiations, but also at the end of the day, all the humanitarian work in Libya. And so I'm sure they are orchestrating or trying to orchestrate the humanitarian effort there. And regardless, I think we've seen a lot of aid and people move in very quickly. But this is really about recovery. I don't think we're going to save a whole lot of people.
Right.
And this is not a government that's really capable.
But we know the disease is going to start, David. We know that. We know what happens after this. Malcolm, we have about a minute.
In Libya, we have at least 7 to 8 foreign powers at play. Is any of them in a position to take advantage of this to be more assertive? And does it place additional pressure on its very sensitive border with Egypt? There will be an exflux of people into Egypt as a result of this.
Well, I don't think you're going to see a flow into Egypt. In fact, Libya is one of the leading places, along with Tunisia, where Egyptians are flowing to get on boats and flee the economic meltdown in Egypt. And flee to Europe. And so now Egyptians are, this is a leading point of departure for Egyptians to get out of Egypt. I think that the foreign interference has lowered in terms of intensity these days in Libya. It's a matter of the parties somehow agreeing to power sharing. There is so much oil, light sweet crude in Libya, that if these parties, and so few people that live there, that if these parties could decide on an equitable distribution of the resource, this country and the people of this country would have as much money as Qatar. They could be fantastically successful, and yet everybody wants it for themselves. So this is also going to be a long, hard slog going forward for Libya.
David Schenker, Malcolm Honline, I'm John Beck.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.